Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may. First, a call if you want to get in, or 1-866-254-1579. That's toll free, 1-866-254-1579. You can listen to the show while you're on hold if you want to make sure that you get in. From outside the United States, you can reach us on 001-760-918-4300. And I wanted to talk, before I go to the calls, I want to talk about this idea of emotional spending. There's this very popular idea popularized by David Bach called the latte factor, which suggests that if you take the money that you would normally spend on a latte and you on any given day and you put that aside, that over the course of a year you will save, let me do my math, $5, $35 a week, 52 weeks, you know, $1,500 in the first year. That can be used to begin a savings plan that ultimately can compound and grow and can be enough to begin to make a difference in your finances. That's true. And it's a little different. One of the reasons I'm not normally a big fan of money saving tips is that a lot of the ones that are more specific than the latte factor are quickly out of date. So I remember reading through a book of money saving tax tips that was published in 2003, and I was reading through it in 2005, and there were a couple that were not only out of date, they were actually illegal from what I knew by the time that I was reading them. So, you know, another piece of common advice about you know, how to save money is save 10% of your income. That's potentially lousy advice if you're racking up 20% of your expenses in debt. It's not necessarily bad advice, but it's the one thing that is universal that I have found will make a difference to anyone's spending and can save you hundreds, thousands, depending on your lifestyle, even tens of thousands of dollars, is to really get the difference between buying and emotional spending. And emotional spending is when you spend money to feel good. You know, Ry Cooder, who's a musician, said all the money in the world is spent on feeling good. And there's a lot of sales trainings built along the idea. In fact, some of the most successful sales trainings in the world, that all you're ever really selling people is good feelings. And it's interesting because it's a relatively recent development. After World War I, when people got used to making do with less, and there was a sort of a new prosperity in the country here in America, people weren't spending money. They'd gotten used to getting by with less, and so even though they had more, they weren't spending it. Montgomery Ward, who was a real person, and I think it was Joseph Sears. I may have that bit wrong. But a lot of these guys that have stores named after them now, that we just think of it as a store, we forget that there was a person who used to be connected to it. They got together and they went, how do we get people to spend more money? And they hired in Freud's nephew, a man named Edmund Bernays, to fly over from, I believe it was from Vienna, and to teach them essentially what is the beginnings of modern marketing. And he taught them to combine good feelings with the purchases. So that was the beginning of the Häagen-Dazs. That's the commercial that comes to mind as the most incongruous sell. You know, eat Häagen-Dazs, have great sex with beautiful women. It doesn't usually work that way in my experience. Lord knows I keep trying. The thing to remember is that emotional spending is no different to any other drug. And that may sound a bit harsh, and it sounds a bit harsh to you probably if it's relevant to you. It sounds a bit harsh. It would be like my talking about alcoholism if you have a few drinks and you sometimes worry about it for yourself. So I've got a very simple test that you can do to see if you are a shopaholic. In other words, if you're getting your highs off shopping. And here's the simplest distinction. A shopper or a buyer goes into a store to buy something. A shopaholic goes into a store to see if there's anything to buy. Now, again, I use shopaholic very lightly because I'm not trying to create a new class of major problem. And for a lot of people, if they just become more aware of how they're using buying stuff to give themselves a hit of serotonin, a little rush of feeling good brain chemicals, you can save a lot of money. So here's a simple way to tangibly save money in the coming week. And again, then we'll be going to your calls. The numbers to call if you want to get into the queue are 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. And, of course, you can listen to the show while you're on hold. So here's your experiment. For the next 7 days, before you go into any shop, I want you to decide what it is that you're going to buy. And if you can't clearly state out loud specifically what it is that you intend to buy, don't go into the shop. So, for example, for the purposes of this experiment, if you think, I want to buy a lawnmower, so I'm going into the shop to buy a lawnmower, that's specific enough. You don't necessarily need to have pre-decided on the brand or the make or the model number. If you're going into a home improvement store and think, I want to get some stuff for the garden, well, that's probably not. If you are going into the shop and you go, you know, I really want to get a nice dress for the party on Friday, well, sure, that's specific enough. You don't necessarily need to isolate the exact dress you're going to buy. If you go in to see, ooh, I wonder what's new in the fall fashions, well, then you're going in there to shop, to get the buzz that you get from shopping. Now, once you're in the shop, if you see something that you really want, but it wasn't on your list that you kind of said, okay, this is what I'm going in to buy, leave it for now. Once you're out of the shop, you can make the decision to buy it and go back in. But what you're doing, even if it seems kind of silly, okay, why am I going to walk out of the shop and then walk back in to buy something? You're then going in with intention. What you're doing is you're retraining yourself not to sort of follow this inner drive, this inner craving, this inner urge. Oh my God, I just feel terrible. I need some retail therapy. You're going in to buy something for a purpose. Now, if you're comparison shopping, that's what a lot of people talk about. Or, oh, I'm just trying to get a feel for what kind of car or computer or TV or lipstick or mutual fund I'm going to want when I'm ready to buy. All I'll ask is be honest with yourself. In other words, a good way to know whether you're telling yourself the truth is whether you leave the store or website that you're doing your comparison shopping on without having spent any money. The other thing that I'll say is the less you think that this applies to you, my experience tells me that the more money it's probably going to wind up saving you. So before we finish, I'm going to also go through with you a way that you can use these ideas. You know, in other words, okay, how do I spend money? If I don't want to emotionally spend, how shall I spend? And that's something that I will get to. But for now, let's go to the phones. Let's get Jenny on the air. Jenny from Louisville. Jenny, welcome to the show. What can I do for you?
Hello. My question is this. Thank you for taking my call. I don't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So every year I shop. My credit card is maxed out. I do a ton of shopping. And
yeah,
every year I will shop. I have four grandchildren. And I will shop right now when things go on clearance. And mm-hmm. put them up for Christmas, even though my card is maxed out. And my husband, you know, he's like, why do you keep buying when you can't afford to buy? So I don't know if I do have a lot of emotional baggage. So I don't know if this is an addiction or.
Well, there's a simple way to check is if I told you that you couldn't buy anything for a week, how would that be?
That would be okay. The key is if you told me that on the week when Dillard's had everything marked down 75% off and then you got an extra 30% off that, then I would have a problem.
They do. Hang on. I've got to leave the show. I'm going to put somebody else in. I need to get down to Dillard's. Oh, my God. So, okay, here's the thing, Jenny. What it sounds like is that for you, the hit comes, and it's different for different people, but you get your hit not necessarily from the purchase, but from the feeling that you're saving money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And again, that's just an old piece of conditioning where, you know, you got probably at some point, and it doesn't matter where it came from, but you probably at some point were reinforced for being very sensible or prudent, or you saw the people around you be reinforced for being sensible and prudent and saving money. And your brain, not even you, but your brain made an association. Save money, feel good. And so when you want to feel better, you save money. Now, the opposite of that is also probably going on, because it would be for most people, where when you don't save money, you feel bad. It's like, but I should be saving money. That's what you're supposed to do. Saving money feels good. I'm not saving money, therefore I should feel bad. Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do. I want you, will you hang out with me over the break?
Okay.
Stay on the line. We'll pick up with this when we come back.
Okay.
Because when we come back, I want to take you through an exercise, and you know, you can do this if you're listening as well, where you can just begin to notice that you've got more control over those feelings and associations than it probably feels like you do right now.
Okay.
Okay. So just enjoy yourself over the break. Maybe, you know what, here, I'll give you a little something to do over the break. You can put your hand on your heart, think some happy thoughts, give yourself some nice feelings, and ask yourself, is there a better way for me to take care of myself in relation to this shopping? And just notice what comes up. We'll talk more with Jenny when we come back. We will talk more with Catherine and Lynn, and we can talk with you if you want to get in. The number to call, 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. We are talking about overcoming emotional spending, and we will be right back after this.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about overcoming emotional spending and just sort of beginning to figure out how much of your spending is there to make the bad feelings go away or the good feelings come instead of to actually get stuff that you want and or need. And we are talking with Jenny from Louisville. So, Jenny, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Just out of curiosity, what came up as you went to your heart just during the break and sort of asked your own best wisdom?
Nothing really came up.
Okay,
really,
that's fine.
I have an answer.
That's fine, but it felt nice though, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'll take that. Your worst case, you feel good. Best case, you feel good and get an insight. So here's what I want you to do. Can you right now imagine that that big Dillard sale is on and that you're not going to go, that you can't go? And I want you to feel, just for a moment, I want you to feel that uncomfortable feeling. Just let me know when you've got it. That there's a great sale on, a really good sale, an amazing sale, and you're not allowed to go.
Okay. You're not,
okay. And on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is, oh my God, this is horrible, and 1 is absolutely fine, what would you rate that feeling?
I'm real angry.
Okay.
I don't want to go.
Okay, so on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is really angry and 1 is fine, what would you say that feeling would be for you?
If I didn't get to go, it would probably be a 9 or a 10.
Okay, fantastic. Can you feel that now? Just in your imagination, just by thinking about it? Okay,
yes.
So here's what I want you to do. As you feel that feeling, as you think about that situation, I'm going to ask you to do something that, if you've ever listened to the show, you may have before. Have you ever come across thought field therapy or TFT or EFT?
No, sir.
Okay, well then don't worry about that and just follow along with me.
Okay.
So as you think about that not being allowed to go, that anger, what I want you to do is I want you to take two fingers of your, whichever hand isn't using the phone, and I want you to tap right above your eyebrow on whichever side is easiest, and right above the inside corner of your eyebrow. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, and continuing to think about not being able to go shop, I want you to tap under the eye. There's a bone that runs under the eye, and I just want you to tap on that bone as you think about it, just gently. Okay?
Okay.
Now I want you to go down under your collarbone, just to the left or the right of your spine, and I want you to tap as you just continue to think about that situation. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, now I want you to tap under your arm. So just lift again, whichever of your arms you can lift, and tap under that arm. And if you can just say okay for me so I know that you've done it, that you're doing it.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask you to tap the karate chop point. So, you know, you're tapping where you would karate chop with the other hand. So it's the side of the hand.
Okay.
Okay. Now I'm going to go ahead If you need to put the phone down for this, I'm just going to talk you through this, but if you can keep the phone in your ear, that'd be great.
Okay.
Is I want you to put the hand that's not tapping down flat so that you're looking at the back of your hand, and there's a point where your pinky and your ring finger sort of meet.
Mm-hmm.
That's called the gamut point. And I want you to tap on that point so you're still thinking about, you know, this, you're not allowed to go to the sale, you're not allowed to buy anything at the sale. I want you to be tapping that point, and I want you to close your eyes.
Okay.
And open your eyes. I want you to put your eyes down to the right, and then back up to center. and eyes down to your left, and then back up to center, still tapping, still thinking about not being able to go to this sale. Then I want you to make a circle clockwise with your eyes as you tap and think. And I want you to make a circle counterclockwise with your eyes as you tap and think. Just let me know when you've done that.
Okay.
Okay, now we're gonna sing a little bit together, right? We're gonna hum a couple of bars of Happy Birthday. Ready?
Okay.
Come on. Tap it
can't
with me.
Do it.
Yes, you can. Come on.
Okay.
I can't hear you.
I am doing it.
Now count out loud from 1 to 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Now again, one more burst of Happy Birthday as you're continuing to think about this.
Okay.
Come on. You have a lovely humming voice.
Thank you.
Keep going.
I have to do it again.
Yes, you do. Okay, so still think about it. Just above the eyebrow, that inside corner of the eyebrow.
Okay.
Under the eye.
Okay.
Under the collarbone.
Okay.
And under the arm.
Okay.
Okay, and I want you to take a nice deep breath in.
Okay.
And let it go. Okay. Now, I want you to think about not being able to go to that sale. And I want you to just notice, and again, on a scale from 1 to 10, where 10 is, oh, I want to kill, and 1 is, yeah, whatever.
I'm okay.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's funny.
And the reason that that works is because the tapping interrupts that sort of energy flow, that chemical, that biochemistry reaction that's just triggered automatically in you for whatever reason, because of whatever programming you picked up as you were growing up. So the short answer, the in-the-moment answer, is if you just take the time to tap before you go in to a shop, you're going to clear yourself so that you're not buying things just to get that feeling, just to make the bad feeling go away and get the good feeling. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, now let me also just take you through the wider answer, and this is something maybe you can even sit down and do with your husband.
Okay.
So there are essentially 4 categories that you can break down spending priorities into. Okay, the first category is bad things happen if I don't. So, you know, that roughly corresponds to, well, I have to spend money on this, but really, most of us have learned to say I have to buy this, regardless of whether or not we really do. So the way to keep yourself honest is bad things happen if I don't. So there's going to be a real world consequence to your not getting it. Not just I'll feel bad, but like they'll take away my house, they'll take away my child. You know, it really would be.
Okay.
Taxes tends to fit in this category. Okay.
Okay.
So those are your A's. Anything that bad things happen if you don't, that's an A priority.
Okay.
B is good things happen if I do, but nothing particularly bad is going to happen if I don't, at least for a while. So these are the things that are important but not urgent. So these might be things like investments, tithing, education, getting support. These are the things that you kind of at some level probably think, oh, well, yeah, I suppose I should do that. So it's good things happen if you do, but nothing really bad happens if you don't. We're going to call that a B, okay?
Okay.
All right, so the C's are, that'd be nice. So these are things, you know, they're luxury. You don't need them, but you know what? If your life's not going to be particularly better or worse in reality if you have them or don't, but, you know, if you can, it's nice.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm writing this down.
Yeah, no, please do. Okay. And then D is, I'm going to regret this later. And it's amazing how often people actually know, you know, that you're not acting in your own best interest even as you're doing something. And again, there's a lovely line actually that came from Viktor Frankl, who's the creator of a field of therapy called logotherapy, who said, live now as if you were already living a second life and as if you'd acted in your first life as wrongly as you're about to act now.
Okay.
it's just a nice way to check for yourself. So
yeah.
Here's what you do. You sit down again. You can do this with your husband. You can do this on your own. And you make a list of everything you can imagine wanting to spend money on. So that's everything from Christmas presents with the grandkids to, you know, holidays, vacation, fixing the leaky roof, everything that you can come up with. And then you go through that list and you separate it out into your A's, B's, C's, and D's. In other words, what on that list is a bad thing happen if I don't? What on that list is a good thing happen if I do? What on that list is a, well, that'd be nice. And what on that list is, and I'm going to regret this later. And then, of course, you go through and you start to prioritize your spending. So the first thing you spend money on is the bad things happen if I don't. Then you spend money on the good things happen if I do. And then you, there's money left, you can start to spend money on the that'd be nice.
Okay.
And again, if you start freaking out, you can just tap yourself back. You can listen to the show again. What I'm also going to do, if you stay on the line after we get off the air, Roberto or Joe will take your email address, and I'm going to send you a free copy of my video on how to apply this process so that you can use that for yourself.
Oh, thank you very much. I would love that.
You are very welcome. Thank you for being with me today.
Thank you very much for working with me.
Okay, Jenny. We'll talk to you soon. Okay, we will be back after the break. We're going to be back with Catherine and Lynn. Thank you guys very much for holding on. And then we've got Jenny, Maggie, and another Lynn on the line. And we're going to just talk more about emotional spending and just money in general and how it affects being able to have what you want. Because, of course, what we want isn't just the money, isn't just the stuff, but it's the good feelings that we associate with the money and the stuff. And it's also not just the good feelings, it's also the stuff. So with that all in mind, if you want to get in for the final segment, we have two more segments to go. You can probably still get in, 1-866-254-1579. That's toll-free, 1-866-254-1579. If you want to find out more about what I do, sign up for my free newsletter, get products, geniuscatalyst.com. Geniuscatalyst.com. We'll be right back after this.
This is...
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about overcoming emotional spending, and we are talking with Catherine in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Catherine, thanks for calling. Thank you for holding. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael. Thank you.
What can I do for you today?
Well, I don't know what type of spending this is. I was in social work, and there was always somebody with a need, so I spent my salary on those folks, and then I became disabled a couple of years ago, and so I didn't have any money saved. I'm not in debt, but I didn't have any money saved because I there was a need. I didn't think of
right.
it at the time. There was a need, and I just, you know, if somebody needed a whatever it was, a used washing machine or clothes or whatever, you know, I provided it. So,
what's the question?
I guess I'm where I'm at is, of course, I don't have any savings, I'm 54, and I guess I'm. Where do I go from here? I guess is what I'm asking.
Okay. Well, not backwards. I mean, you know, you did, this is the thing, you know, we're all doing the best we can. We all do what makes sense at the time. There's an interesting, and I'm hesitant to say this, and I'm going to say it because one way of hearing what I'm about to say is, oh my God, this is my fault. That's not what I'm saying. I'll explain the whole thing, but there's something very interesting. So you gave all your money to people who seemed to need it, and then you became someone who seemed to need it.
Right.
You know, perhaps now you've got to go, oh, that's me now. So, you know, there's a poetry to it, whether or not it's remotely cause-effect. It's an interesting thing.
Sure.
I think the reality is, and this is why I started by saying not backwards, is in a way it doesn't matter. You know, okay, that's what you did. The question is, what can you do now to, in the most enjoyable way possible, begin to create a sense of surplus and abundance in your own life? Does that sound right?
Exactly.
Okay. So what appeals to you? What would make you go, wow?
In terms of...
In terms of how would you like to contribute to the world? I mean, basically, for 99% of us, we get paid in accordance to the value we add to the world, to the contribution we make to the world. It's an odd scale of payment because it's not necessarily the obvious. So there are factors in it. It's how unique is the contribution we make will determine the amount of recompense we can get for it. How the scope of it, you know, how many people we make that contribution to. If you make a small contribution to a million people, you might be able to get recompensed at a higher rate than making a big contribution to one person. You know, the level of contribution, you know, how much of a difference you make can affect it, but also the perception of the value of the contribution. There are some very clearly valuable contributions that go unnoticed and don't go rewarded, and then there are others that don't seem to be that much of a contribution, but because there's such a great story about them, they're able to get recompensed for it. So given that the basic formula is, if I want more money in my life, I need to find a way to add more value to other people's lives. You know, to think that it works any other way is like standing in front of a fireplace and negotiating with it and saying, tell you what, fireplace, I'll give you wood when you give me heat. It just doesn't work that way, usually. So given that you're going to wind up making your money by making a contribution, what kind of a contribution would you like to make?
Well, my passion was always children, so that's a lot of what I did.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it in that same capacity, so I've been trying to figure out in what capacity I could do that. Since children are more connected spiritually to God, I've been trying to think of a way to help encourage them in that process so that they don't get caught up in a lot of the dysfunction that most of us adults get caught up in.
Okay.
It's about the best I can say.
That's great. So here's what I'd like you to do. And this is something for you to take away and do off the call. And then you can get back in touch with me. If you go on the forums at geniuscatalyst.com, there's a radio forum. And you can write to me care of that forum, and I can respond to you directly.
I'm sorry, Michael. I missed that forum.
I'm gonna give you something to go away and do.
Right.
And then if you'd like to check back in with me, you can always call the show again. But also what you can do is you can go. There's a forum on my website, geniuscatalyst.com.
Okay.
And when you sign up for the forum, there's a radio forum, one of the choices, and you can get in touch with me through that, and so I can communicate with you further that way as well.
Okay, geniuscatalyst.com.
Geniuscatalyst.com.
Okay.
And what I want you to go away and do is I want you to go away and make what my friend Mandy Evans calls a blue sky list. And so this is a list of what you'd like to fall into your life out of a clear, if it could just come out of a clear blue sky. In other words, this isn't a list of goals in the sense that I'm going to go out and do anything about them. It's just a list of if it could just happen, this is what I'd like to just happen. Sometimes some people like to do it as I welcome list. These are the things that I welcome into my life. I embrace, I allow, I invite, I would love. Whatever language just appeals to you and gives you a sense of, well, this is just true. You know, it's, you know what? I'd love $1 million to fall into my lap out of a clear blue sky. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't know how it would happen. I don't think it can happen. I might even think I shouldn't want it. But you know what? I'd love it. I welcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to make that list. And what I'd like you to do, if you're willing to, is to go ahead and post it on the forum. And when we can invite some other people to do that as well. And just begin to notice how the energy around it shifts when you do that.
Okay.
Because part of what gets in our way when we're in a situation like it sounds like you're in is the sense that, oh my God, I've got to make this happen. And if I don't make this happen, it's not going to happen.
Okay.
One of the wonderful things about opening up to a benevolent universe, and this is not for me the same as saying there's no responsibility and I don't have to do anything and it should all just actually come to me out of a clear blue sky. But one of the wonderful things about opening up to the reality of the universe as a place that does provide, you know, that does actually tend to give you a rabbit in the hat at just the point when you need the rabbit in the hat, even though it might have been nice to have had the rabbit a week earlier so you knew it was coming, is that you kind of get that you can't do it on your own. And, you know, we're so brainwashed. There's, you know, I have a program, The Seven Myths of Success, and, you know, one of the myths is the myth of self-sufficiency, the idea that we're supposed to be able to do it on our own, or it only counts if we do it on our own, or if it's somehow more valuable if we do it on our own. You know, you can't have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without owing part of that peanut butter and jelly sandwich to 100 people. you know, the people who, everyone from the people who planted and harvested the wheat, you know, to the people who made and packaged the bread, you know, to the people who processed the peanuts, and all the way down, you know, the person that made the knife you used to spread the peanut butter. When you really get that you can't do it on your own, and that in fact you are continually supported, everything you have in your life is the result of the shared contribution of other people, it not only lets you accept what is there for you and maybe open up to it coming to you in ways other than the ways that you think are possible, it also makes it easier for you to make a contribution even if you don't know exactly who you're contributing to in every moment. So the other thing that I would ask you to do is just look for opportunities to be of service this week. Don't worry about whether or not they can pay you, but just start looking for opportunities where, hey, can I be of assistance here? Is there something I can do to contribute to your well-being, to make things better? And that attitude of collecting firewood, even though you might not know where the spark's going to come from that's going to light the fire, that's going to give you the heat, that attitude is, in fact, what winds up creating the sparks. There's a wonderful quote I heard from a Canadian hockey player today that said, yeah, you know, I'm very alive in my life, but you can't wait to catch fire. You know, sometimes you have to set yourself on fire first.
So, Michael, you're saying the fact that I gave my material goods away, that was
I'm
not...
saying that that's a lovely thing, and it's a nice story, and it hopefully made a nice difference to the people you gave it away to, and it doesn't have to have any bearing or hold on what you do with your life from this moment forward.
Okay, so it didn't set up a pattern in which I can't I need to get...
No, I don't believe it did. In other words, there may be some pattern that's there, but I'm not hearing it as manifesting in the rest of your life. It's just what happened.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you for voting, Catherine. We will be back with more of your calls, more thoughts on overcoming emotional spending. And I'm going to leave you with a simple exercise in money freedom before we go. And we'll be right back after this. Thanks for listening.
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about overcoming emotional spending. You know, one of the most useful questions I've found over the years related to any significant purchase, based on whatever amount of money you decide is significant, is what I call the spending question. And the spending question is this. Given that I've now decided it's okay to spend this much money, is there anything else I'd rather spend it on? So the reason this is a relevant question is that people go into what marketers call buying mode. Once we've made the decision to buy, we are open to buy more. In other words, that's why you'll see little add-ons. You'll buy something and then you'll buy the car and they'll go, oh, did you want tires with that, sir? Did you want insurance with that? Did you want this? Did you want that? Because they know psychologically that once you've decided that it's okay to spend money, you're at your most open to spend more. So one of the ways of catching emotional spending is if you've gotten yourself into buying mode is, okay, I'm in buying mode. Given that I've now decided that I'm in buying mode and that it's okay to spend however much money I was going to spend, is there anything else I'd rather spend it on? For example, let's say that I was going to buy $40 worth of books, which is probably what I do about two or three times a week. I love books. When I ask myself what else I might want to spend the $40 on, so I might go, okay, well, I could spend it on dry cleaning. I could get a portable CD player. I could get, three or four lunches, depending on where I'm having lunch. Maybe 10 cappuccinos. I could get part of a date with my wife. I could take the kids out to Denny's for breakfast. Now, I might still decide to go ahead and buy the books, but if I do, it's with a far greater appreciation that every time I buy something, I'm not buying other things. In other words, every time I get something, I'm giving up the opportunity to get other things. Now, let's look at the same principle in relation to a larger purchase, like a new car. So you do your research and you figure out you can get a great new car for $5,000 down and $500 a month. Now, once you've decided to spend the money, so you're in buying mode, before you actually just follow through and buy, you stop and ask yourself one more question. Given that I've decided it's okay to spend $5,000 now and $500 a month, is there anything else I'd rather spend it on? Well, let's see. I mean, $5,000, that could make a great start to an investment program. It could knock a clump out of your personal debt. You could use it to begin remodeling, maybe your kitchen or bathroom, make a big contribution to your school or to your church or your favorite charity. But, okay, let's say you'd still rather get the car. Well, okay, for $500 a month, what else could you do? You could create a regular charitable donation. You could accelerate your savings and investment and mortgage and debt repayment programs. You could take on a series of advanced skill trainings. You could do some adult education programs. You could hire a coach. You do a number of small things. You could hire a part-time cleaner, join a gym, get a weekly massage, and go to the theater once a month, you know, for about that same monthly thing. Now, let's say that after reviewing all those choices, you still decide to buy the car. Or maybe you decide to make do with a car that only costs $3,000 down, $250 a month, and you put the extra $2,000 into your children's college tuition fund, hire the part-time cleaner, join a gym, and add the additional $80 a month to your charity. However you decide to do it, it's not that there's a right answer. It's that the key to making it work is recognizing it's not about self-denial. It's about conscious choice and considered distribution. So you've already decided to spend this money. You're just adding in a final step to see if you could bring yourself more joy, more prosperity, bring yourself closer to fulfilling your life's purpose if you spend this money differently. And look, I know, you know, you might fear that, you know, if you explore the spending options and alternatives, you're going to actually spend more money. My experience is that when you use the spending question, given that I've decided it's okay to spend this much money, is there anything else I'd rather spend it on? You're going to wind up actually spending less money when you use that consistently. And maybe even more important than the savings is that taking that extra minute or two to ask and answer the question allows you to really appreciate the money you do decide to spend and lets it be more than a quick serotonin rush, a quick emotional hit, and allows you to truly value the people and the things and the experiences that you decide to spend it on. So something to think about. Let's talk to Lynn in Washington. Lynn, welcome to the show. Thank you for holding. What can I do for you today?
Hi, Michael. Thank you very much for taking my call. I think my question is revolving around emotional non-spending, and that is that my blue sky is falling, and all of these things that I have been working to manifest are occurring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a little bit of a twist here and there, one of them being that now it looks like I'm going to have to potentially buy some property in Canada. And the owner's wide open.
Oh, God.
Open
you know,
arm.
I hate it when the police came around here and they held me at gunpoint and told me that if I didn't buy property in Canada, that I was going to jail. I hated that. I thought that was only me that happened to. But okay, you've got to buy this property in Canada. Go on.
Anyway, well, the point being that I have all the skill set to make this happen. Everything's there. The way it's really going to occur is through other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
Getting government grants, first of all, Canada, I don't know from Albania, so I, you know, I'm going to have to start there, but also private investors and so forth that I do know who will be happy to invest, but I feel like I'm going to get to the point where all of a sudden it's going to be, uh-oh, this isn't my money, and I'm going to start stifling my dreams.
Because if you make a mistake with someone else's money, it means...
It means that the follow-on to that is if I make a mistake and I fail,
mm-hmm.
and I've used other people's money, even if it's a free government grant, that is terrifying to me.
Because, in other words, again, let's stick with that first question. because they're going to come and be very, very cross with you because it
yes,
means, in other words, what does it
like,
mean?
Yeah, like
if you
like
lose their
God's
money,
going to be really disappointed.
Okay, so let's say that do you believe that?
Well, because the business is as a spiritual retreat, there's a spiritual component to it. So I guess yeah, in a sense, that's where I feel I'm being guided toward.
Okay, so do you trust your guidance?
Yes, and I read Lynn Robinson's book, and I read your book as well.
Yeah, okay.
So I do trust my gut.
Absolutely, great.
But
now,
I didn't,
now, okay,
I didn't,
so hang on.
Okay.
just bear with me.
Sure.
Do you believe that your guidance is... I'm trying to find a polite way to say this. Do you believe that your gut and your guidance is a jerk?
No.
Okay. So why would your guidance be leading you to make the kinds of decisions that would deliberately waste someone else's money?
That's a very good point.
And if your guidance is not guiding you to deliberately waste or do bad things with other people's money, but in fact was doing its best to support you in doing God's work at whatever that means to you through the spiritual work that you're doing, why do you think God would be mad at you for listening to her?
That's a very good point.
Thank you. I made it myself.
Okay.
So that's
right.
The thing, Lynn. I totally understand it, and it really is just a wonderful mind game that you can play to keep yourself busy when you don't have enough else to do.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much.
And thank you so much for your wonderful website. I wake up to it as many mornings as I possibly can.
Thank you very much. That's geniuscatalyst.com.
It is.
Okay. Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for
so
phoning
much.
In, and thanks for staying with us. Okay, so I wanted to finish today's show, I promised, with a simple exercise in money freedom. There's a wonderful quote from Sir Ralph Hawtrey. Money is one of those concepts which, like a teaspoon or an umbrella, but unlike an earthquake or a buttercup, are definable primarily by the use or purpose they serve. So much of what we will or won't do around money is based on our assumptions about how money works and what we can and can't and should and shouldn't do with it. But when we question these assumptions, we free up the possibility of making more practical use of money as a labor-saving device. So, you know, money is a tool that we can use to make our lives easier and reach our goals faster. And there's an exercise. This exercise comes from one of my favorite money books of all time. It's by Patricia Remley. It used to be called Money Freedom. I have a feeling it has a new title now, but it's Remley, R-E-M-E-L-E. And here's what you do. Make a list of every financial belief, principle, assumption, and cliche you can think of. For example, the love of money is the root of all evil. It takes money to make money. If you have a bunch of problems that would be solved by throwing money at them, you really have only one problem. Once you have money, you have to constantly question people's motives. Substitute the word shovel, which is another practical tool, for money in each of the sentences that you came up with, and notice whether the statement still makes sense or still feel emotive. So, for example, the love of shovels is the root of all evil. Shovels don't grow on trees. I feel guilty because I have more shovels than my parents did. Notice for yourself how you use money differently when you see it as a purely practical tool. And what I know from my experience, what I know from the experience of my clients, is that it's easy to get surprised at how quickly your attitude towards money begins to change. So have fun, learn heaps, see what you can dig up. My thanks to Roberto, Sonny, and Joe in the studio for keeping me on air throughout the show today. And also next week, I've got a very special show. I'm going to do a show called What One Person Can Do with a very special guest, a guy named Bill Cumming, who's one of my mentors. And we'll be taking your calls about really finding out the power of choice in your own life and what you can do to make a real difference in the world, to yourself, and to the well-being of the planet. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next week.